1041 FM KMOX. Happy Wednesday. Yeah, that feels like a Monday to me. I was really shrewd. I'm not very shrewd. And I was able to wind my way around the days and get like a 5-day weekend. So it was really nice. I needed it more than I thought I did, but it's great to be back. And my good pal, Tom Ackerman, is kind enough to stay for a segment because you start work at like 1 in the morning or something like that. So by the time you get home, you have to get up again. So I really appreciate it. But Tommy and I were talking today about the Cardinals, and he said, man, at noon on the Gas House Gang, I'm going to lay it out for the listeners. And I had a client come in, and I didn't get to listen. And I heard he and Wheels talking in the kitchen. And I'm like, hey, could you stay for one more segment on the DGS? And this, you're going to laugh at me, but I mean this. This is sort of like when I, on the 100th anniversary, had Bob Costas and John Goodman on at the same time. Like, just stay out of the way, Dave, right? And so you guys discussing this, I really appreciate it. I'm really looking forward to it. So, Tommy, I know you did it an hour ago, but you kind of briefly redo what you did on Gas House and talk us through these last few days and the pitching and the decisions that the Cardinals are making.
Yeah, and Wheels and I will discuss it. And I really think that I'm just going to go out there and say I don't like it. Not that I don't like what they're doing necessarily. I just don't like the situation that they're in, where they have to basically go out there yesterday and face, if not the best team in baseball, the second best in the Milwaukee Brewers, who are going to pummel any pitcher out there who isn't going to fool them. And they didn't get fooled in game two by Schuster. I joked on our text thread yesterday that Matt Swanson and Bruce Zimmerman actually combined for a quality start.
They did.
Six innings and three runs allowed. But the Cardinals didn't have enough offense either to attack the Brewers, so their pitching has to be perfect. And they put themselves in a situation here, some of it unlucky, where they've had some injuries go against them, and they've had some pitchers start to wear down here a little bit, where they had to go and call up Bruce Zimmerman with the expectation that he is going to be DFA'd right after that. Jared Schuster, who is another lefty that they put out there yesterday in relief in game two of Hunter Dobbins, who got pummeled in an inning and a third, he gave up 7 runs. And the expectation, although they haven't announced the roster moves just yet, is that he will also be taken off that as DFA'd. Mm-hmm. So they'll have to add somebody else. And the assumption is, based on various reports, and got me very excited yesterday, that will be Luis Gastelum. More on that in just a moment, why I like him so much. The Cardinals, the main part of this is that they wanted to give their starters a day. And so Michael McGreevy will pitch tonight on 6 days rest, and Andre Pallante is going to pitch tomorrow. What I said on the Gas House Gang is, understand that you don't know, nor do I actually, how and why they need a day. We could just assume, well, they need an extra day rest. Well, we don't know the full extent of what they're feeling. We know what we're told. We have to take that as it is, as it's put out there. But you don't always know what a pitcher is going through. And the Cardinals cannot afford to let this pitching staff collapse. If it does, this season is over. And not only that, but next season is compromised, because then you're starting to bring up minor leaguers that aren't ready, and it can create a bit of a domino effect. The other thing that the Cardinals need to do is make sure that this bullpen is protected for the long haul, because if that collapses, then it's all going down again. If your rotation can give you 5, that's great, but that's usually not good enough. That means you got to give 4 to your bullpen, and you're burning relievers. So they can't continue to put out, unless they're in trying to get a playoff spot in September, then you go all in, I guess. But on July 7th, you can't burn everybody in a doubleheader, knowing that you have to stretch this thing out as long as you can. That's where Gastelum comes in, where I think they do bring him in, and he becomes the guy that probably should have been this a month ago. I'm not sure where he would have fit in, or if he could have or not, but he's the type of reliever that can help you. He's young, he's got a nice arm, he's got a great changeup, help you at the back end of the bullpen. So the Cardinals have a plan for the rest of the season, and they had to, unfortunately, have this all happen where they had a rescheduled doubleheader against one of the best teams in baseball, and we saw what happened yesterday. And the shame of it all, Wheels, is that it happened yesterday where you got Jacob Mizorowski not once but twice.
Mm.
Jordan Walker hit him out on a 95-mile-an-hour cutter, and then Ivan Herrera, who was practicing against 107 against the machine, so he'd be ready, hit one out also. I mean, and you lost the game. That was one you could have stolen. It's all just a tough thing to digest right now.
Yeah, I mean, part of the problem, too, is maybe don't push off games if you don't have to. Because this game probably didn't need to be pushed to this point way back when. Maybe should have
tried. You're
talking
about the rescheduled 115 game?
Yeah. Like, I mean, this is the... And now, because they did the same thing with the Arizona game, instead of moving the game earlier, whether that was the team or Major League Baseball or whatever, now you're going to come out of the All-Star break with 20 straight games and no off days. You're not getting out of this trouble anytime soon, because a four-day off... or five, you know, 4 or 5 day break, you know, Monday through Thursday, essentially. So a four-day break isn't fixing everything. A week into that next stretch, you're back in the same position if your starting pitchers still aren't getting deep enough into games. And Leahy is not going to get super deep into games. He's been really good lately, but he's not going to get there on a regular basis because he's been a reliever for 2 or 3 years, and you're not going to put that workload increase on him because it increases your injury risk. Matthew Liberatore hasn't been good enough to get deeper into games. He's getting rocked a third time through the order. They got to be careful still with Dustin May. I mean, look at what happened with May after going complete game. He hadn't been the same since.
Mm-mm.
Now, I know he got hit in the foot, but that was after he was getting rocked already in
that
inning.
That's a really good point.
So, like, and look, May hasn't pitched in 3 years. He's been hurt for 3 years, so you got to be careful with him. And this is kind of the point. So there's only two guys you can ask more from, and that's McGreevy and Pallante. So you're in this position the way that you are, and the more you go down this route, you look at the bullpen. They're all on pace for like 75 appearances. That's insane. Like normal is like, that's probably 10 to 15% more than what would be a normal workload in as for, you know, relievers. Typically you want what, Tom, like 65 appearances is kind of like a regular reliever, what you would hope for. You know, Justin Brule's already been in 40 games. We're at the All-Star. We're not even at the All-Star break yet. You know, when you look at it, like 37 games for Graceffo, and he already went down to the minors once. You know, Matt Svaundsen's been down to the minors. He's got 35 appearances. These guys are all being worked really hard, and a lot of these guys were worked hard last year too.
Yeah,
and so like this is the hard part, is you don't have one side that's able to give the other side, bullpen versus rotation, the break that they occasionally need. And when you call up guys, you're calling up Bruce Zimmerman. And you're calling up Jared Schuster. The Brewers are calling up Robert Gasser, who goes out there and shoves for 7 1/3 innings. You know, they got a guy in their bullpen, Patrick, who would be a number four starter on most teams in baseball, and he's just their long reliever.
Yeah, how many games?
He just pitches when they need him to, Chad Patrick. So, like, this is the difference. Milwaukee is showing you why they're better than you. It's because they have more high-end pitching, right? They've got maybe the best pitcher on the planet. And they got Kyle Harrison, who's going today, who's pretty damn good, too. Another big strikeout guy, lefty who throws hard. They've got multiple closers, so they can get you a number of ways in the bullpen. They've got a really deep lineup. They've got a really strong bench. And the one area where you're probably equal to them is defense. I think the two teams are both really strong defensive teams. But you're seeing why Milwaukee's the better team and why they're the division leader, and you're trying to get to that.
I know. We're talking about McGreevy, I feel like, or at least I am, like he's Adam Wainwright or something. Like, he's your one guy who can go deep. You know how many times he's gone seven?
Like,
zero.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is my point. And part of that, I know, is their design. Because they're trying, you know, they've been doing this for a couple of years, where they're really working hard to try to keep pitchers healthy. So they're not overworking guys. You're going to have to start asking more from the guys who can give you more. Because the bullpen's breaking. And it's going to continue to break. And I don't just... And look, I think guys like Pallante and McGreevy can handle it. And this is where I find the interesting debate. This is a symbolic thing that's happening in the sport. Do you prioritize health or performance? Because you can't usually have both. It doesn't always work that way. You want to manage workload and keep guys healthy. Well, they're not, but you're also then not getting what you need out of them. You're not getting the innings you need out of Pallante and McGreevy. You're not getting the quality that you need out of the other guys. And certainly, you know, I mentioned with Leahy and May, you have to be careful. And Libertor is just not giving you any choice. You have to take him out of games when you're taking him out because he's getting rocked. So this is kind of that balance where, okay, they're healthy, but are they giving you what you need to compete? Because a lot of teams are saying, I don't care if my guys are healthy. If they're not good, that doesn't help me. They need to be good. They need to give us the innings, the strikeouts, the performance. But it's also a statement of reality. Like, this is where the Cardinals were coming into the year. This isn't a new thing. Everybody knew this, but they played above what the expectations were. So it changed how we were looking at it for a while.
Let me ask you guys about that from the 30,000 foot view. Because, you know, I was talking to Tommy this morning that I consider myself a fairly well-informed fan, but I'm several rungs below you guys. And so if you take the fan base, maybe a little less informed than me because they don't work at KMOX. Now you have two big masters to serve. You know, Heim's been saying, look, if it's short term or long term, we're going to make the long term decision every time. We're expected to win 78 games this year. We may win 78, we may win 84, but people are expecting to win 84. And now you can't lose this momentum. The tarps off and people showing up at the ballpark. I don't envy the Cardinals.
I agree with that. And I think that they will be entertaining the second half because you're going to start to see some names that you've been wanting to see. Joshua Baez is going to play in the second half of the season. And a lot of fans might not know who he is. Well, you're going to know soon because he's a right-handed hitter who can absolutely crush the ball. Now, in the minors, in the major leagues, there will be an adjustment period. These guys are so young. I mean, even McGreevy, going back to him, he's 26 today. He is making his 18th start of the season today. You know how many starts he had in his career coming into this year? 19. So he doesn't have the big league experience, even though we sort of see him now as becoming a veteran big league starter. And Kevin's right that you can expect a little more out of him because
well,
he's
did
shown
it in
that.
The minors too.
Yeah,
he was a guy that
I'm talking about as a major league starter.
Sure, but I mean he's carried the innings. Like we know physically he can do the work,
but he's still adjusting to you know the situation, how to manage a game, and how to adjust, and he is getting there. And he to me was the one guy going into the season that I could count on to go deeper into a game. I didn't know enough whether Dustin May would be able to get it going yet. And he's shown some very good signs of doing that. Obviously, he's got big league experience. Libertor, Pallante, Leahy. The Cardinals they are a work in progress when it comes to starting pitching. It just is what it is. And I think that they've accomplished a lot. But to your point, ride the momentum. It's an entertainment business. Let's see Luis Gastelum. Wait till you see this guy's changeup. It's fun. And he's going to be throwing hitters off balance. And he'll run into some issues because this is, again, big league hitters, big league situation.
Is this his first time up?
Yeah. You're going to see eventually some other players come up, maybe not until next year, but they've got some big time pitchers down in the Double A, big time. Liam Doyle, Tanner Franklin. Eventually, Quinn Matthews will be more consistent to pitch at this level. And then they're going to continue to draft and bring up some players. Eventually, the teenager, Raniel Rodriguez, who's a tremendous hitter, will be at a level where you can start wondering whether he's going to break into the big leagues, but not yet. But it's all coming. You've got to keep your fans entertained, and they have some offense, some excitement right now that can do that. But you have to have your pitching in place, or it's all going to fall apart.
Thanks for staying, buddy.
Always great to be here.
Appreciate it. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. As I said, we have Stewie coming up at the bottom of the hour. My pal Jimmy Griffin's going to be with us. Janelle switched days, so she'll be here at 3 o'clock. Matt Pauly later on. So, and I've got 3 pages of show prep.
Oh, you have all those days.
Three pages.
So do you keep them day to day, or do you kind of start a new thing every day?
I mean, on a normal week, So when I go home tonight, first thing I'll do, literally, I'll post up on the couch, and I'll pull out the notebook, and I will take the 3 pages that I have today, and anything I didn't use I think is good, I'll put it on a fresh piece of paper. And it just keeps kind of rolling over like that.
So you carry over, but by moving it, not by just keeping the pages.
Yeah. But I don't roll over that much. You know, it's like if I don't talk about something on any given day, there's probably a reason.
You just lost it.
Yeah.
Didn't feel it anymore.
Yeah. Jacob on the stream asks if the penguin on Dave's shirt is going to rob us. And all I'll say is maybe you should all be on your best behavior in the chat.
You know, I'm not getting anything on the chat.
I think StreamYard's having some issues.
Okay. Mm.
I'll come in and look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just for the people listening at home, Dave is wearing a shirt today of a penguin holding a knife. And the penguin is so cute.
I love this extremely cute penguin.
And the shirt says, flight was never an option.
Fight or flight.
Pretty good.
Most penguins don't fly. I get it.
Yeah. There you go. Making friends with t-shirts.
Sorry, did you say most penguins don't fly?
No, I just said penguins don't fly. Yeah, the flying penguins are famous.
Did you know that both Rach and I had a penguin phase?
I guess children?
It's more than a phase.
She was a children.
Yeah, I was a children.
Dave was a went to the zoo one time.
Yeah, I was in high school and I said something about liking penguins, and for 10 years, that's all I got.
Oh, yeah.
It was penguin stuff.
Oh, dude.
People don't talk about that enough. It is so dangerous when you're a kid to let slip that you like something.
Yeah.
Like a piece of food or like an animal or whatever, because to certain people in your life, that will become the core of your identity.
Yeah.
For the remainder of your existence on Earth.
Everyone's got to label you.
Yeah.
I mean, as you guys know, I am the master of
wolves. That's the penguin guy.
Yes, we know this.
For a lot of my life, I got a lot of that stuff. But now here's what's funny is, when we were newly married, Susan and I, my parents would buy her wolf stuff, thinking she was the one that liked them, but it was me that liked them.
Your parents?
Yes.
The people who whelped you?
Yes. You guys are tight. And that's what I said. I'm like, you guys didn't know that I was the one that
liked
them?
The people
those?
Who carried you around by the scruff of your neck and the teeth.
And master of wolves.
That's funny. This is bad, though. I have 3 pages of show prep, and I never know where to start. Never know where to start.
I love virtual real fan productions in the stream because talks about trains a lot, which makes sense. Real fan productions.
Nobody else is talking
about
trains. But
Big Boy is going to be at Union Station 2 Sundays from now. The big train.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant the restaurant Big Boy, the burger place.
You meant the radio personality. I'm like,
there's a radio personality named Big Boy.
Right? Am I putting that on?
That's why we got sold when we were MS Communications.
Because
they fired him wrongfully, and there was a huge, giant lawsuit.
Lost millions of dollars.
And they had to liquidate, like, most of the company because of it.
Yeah.
And now we're over here. Yeah. Hello, everyone.
Yeah.
No, I love a chatter with a bit. And so his bit of, like, popping in when no one else is talking about trains to be like, y'all see that big old train?
I don't think it's a bit. I think he just loves trains.
I shouldn't say a bit, it's not a joke. Name. But I love a chatter with a theme, let's say.
I really like to watch train YouTube videos.
Me too.
Like, really love it. I love, like, all the Amtrak ones going around the U.S., but the best are, like, Japan bullet train, or if it's, like, a luxury train. Ooh, that is premium content. I have watched hundreds of hours of that
Mighty
stuff.
Trains. That's my show.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Love me some Mighty Trains. In fact, one of the things in my show prep is 53-hour Amtrak ? Like, I fantasize about taking vacations alone, like my friend Amy Markscores does, but I think she's tougher than me. Well, I know she's tougher than me.
Here's why you would love it. You would be obsessed with it because when you get on that train for 53 hours, if you get like a little roommate or whatever, and Rachel knows this, you don't have to do anything. They bring you food. They bring you drinks.
I'm good at that.
You just sit there.
You have to go get your own food.
No, I'm out.
Well, in certain spots, they'll bring you food, right? Don't they deliver it if you're in certain rooms?
Maybe. The roomette I was in, I had to go get my food, but it was still fun. But Virtual Real Fan Productions is actually like a huge channel. This is not a person with a bit. They have a very legitimate train channel.
Virtualrealfan.com.
Check it out.
We should have Bon as a guest sometime.
We should. I retract my disrespectful use of the word bit.
It's good. Dave Hines is a fan. He goes, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're in the DGS chat. That's cool.
Thanks for watching our stream.
That's very neat.
I got a question about this 53-hour thing.
Oh, I'm shouting out the wrong channel. Don't watch that one I just said.
Yeah, that channel's bullcrap.
That one... Website looks great, but I bet it's not that good.
Communist.
Not as good as Virtual Real Fan Productions, tell you that.
A bunch of posers.
From Stewart's American Mortgage. Good to see ya.
Nice to see you guys.
Yeah. So I want to start with something sort of existential. I didn't know you before, and so now that I know you, in my live endorsements, I've been saying, hey, he's a good guy. He really, truly cares about you. Can you talk about that a little bit? Just the difference between sort of a machine mortgage place and the way you guys do it, where you know your customers very well and actually care what happens to them?
Well, this is an important factor in what the whole company was built on. There's no difference with us between business and personal. They're both the same. We're here to make customers, or to help customers get their house, to make it an easy process, to make it actually somewhat fun and relaxing and take away the stress. Because in any transaction, the biggest stress is the money. Mm-hmm. Now, what's happened out there is that the industry has evolved and people are going on their computers to try to find a mortgage, or they're dealing with rocket ship this and that. And you got to remember, your home is the biggest financial investment you're going to make in your life. I can't say the biggest investment because my wife is constantly reminding me that she's the biggest investment I make in my life. So the biggest financial investment, maybe she is the biggest financial investment. I don't know. So the biggest financial investment you're going to make in your life is your home. Okay. When you're dealing with that, you shouldn't be dealing with a computer, and you should have access to somebody that you can talk to them when it's convenient for you, and not when it's convenient to them. We're not physicians where you have to sit in the waiting room and get to the point and blah, 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 blah. We're there for you every single time when you need something addressed or a question to be asked. So we kind of switched gears, and we went back to old-time American customer service, which is the guy that's in your backyard that you know, that has accountability. I advertised my cell phone. How many people out there actually put their cell phone on the radio? We do it so you can reach us. You can text us. You can call us. This way, you're getting 30 years advice. You know, we don't have any commission loan officers, so it's myself and my son. We do the same. You get the same product as walking into a big bank or any other mortgage lender. It's the same Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac insured loans. You get to call us, and you get 30, 40 years of experience behind you, and you get the right advice. I can't tell you the countless times that I've gotten a phone call from somebody, and they said, look, I got PMI on my loan. I have to refinance to get rid of the PMI. My rate is 4%. I talked to this lender and that lender, and they're saying, this is the rate, this is the cost. And then they come to me, and I say, don't refinance at all. You got a great rate. Contact your lender, ask them to do an appraisal, and if you're under 80% of the value of the property, they can just drop the PMI and you can keep that great rate. So we don't make any money doing that, but it's the right advice. Mm-hmm. So we have customers coming to us all the time. You know, I'm dealing right now with a customer that came to us. They're buying a new construction house, a local builder, a decent builder, and the builder likes to gear people towards their lender. And they say, hey, if you go to my lender, we'll give you a $5,000 credit towards closing costs and prepaids. And they say, oh, that's great. $5,000 under the purchase price. I got to use your lender. Well, what's happening is, if you look at their estimates, they got $5,000 additional cost, a higher rate. So they're going ahead and covering that credit. You think you're getting a great deal. It's not a great deal. You go out and get a loan, and an FHA loan is a lower rate than a conventional loan. You think you're getting a great deal, but with an FHA loan, you have to pay the government 1.75%. The PMI, which is higher than conventional, never goes away. Blah, 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 blah. At the end of the day, you think you're getting a great deal. It's not. So you can't really self-diagnose and go on the computer system with the biggest investment you're going to make in your life and think you're getting the right advice.
Just a sidebar. You're talking about customer service, and I'm old enough to know this. Isn't it sad that 40 years ago, your customer service wouldn't stand out because everyone gave great customer service?
Everybody did. What happened?
I don't know.
What happened? You know, I called about my cable, and I got somebody from another country. And I said, this is my problem. And they just read from a script that had nothing to do with what I was asking. And I think that, especially with COVID, I think we kind of lost that customer service edge. you know, large industries consolidating, they're going to AI, they're going to this, they're going to that, and you lose that personal touch. Can you imagine walking in to a physician and you have a challenge and you're talking to a robot or a computer? Now, it's nice and dandy, but are you really getting that personal attention? Are you really getting that proper analytics to see what the challenge is and how to address it? You're not. You can't replace an expert human being. It just can't be done.
Amen.
And I don't want to deal with a computer. I want to deal with somebody that's going to help me and somebody that I can reach when I need to reach them.
Yeah.
And so we just rolled everything back. We took out the commission loan officers. We said, here's my cell phone. I put it on the radio. You know, 30 some odd years I've been doing this, I've gotten one prank call. Now, wow. That's not to encourage you folks out there.
That one was me. Yeah.
But I've gotten one prank call. That's it. So we go ahead and we give this out. It's the only cell phone that I carry. And we just bring back, and yeah. I just believe in the old-time customer service.
So I'm always really honest with my listeners, and they know I'm kind of a floater. And I didn't have a good credit score until my 40s. And you have something for people who may be struggling with their credit scores.
That's right. So first of all, everybody has to realize, in general, until now, your credit score is what determines what your rate's going to be and what you're going to qualify for a mortgage. Now, there's over 400 different credit score models. That means 400 Experians, 400 Equifaxes, 400 TransUnions. So depending on the type of company that pulls that credit, you'll get a different credit score. When you go and apply for a car or a credit card, it's a different credit score than what a mortgage lender sees and what they pull. So realize what you see on Credit Karma, that's not your mortgage credit score. So until now, this model has been created by TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax, and it's called your FICO score. It's not very fair to a lot of people that they're using this risk model when you're getting a mortgage. So now there's an alternative credit score model that may be able to have you eligible for better financing. We had somebody came in, had a 620 FICO score. And when you apply for a mortgage, they'll take all three scores and they'll take the middle one. They don't average it. They take the middle score of the three. With this other one, it's called a Vantage credit score. It's a little bit more generous to your situation, and you may get a much higher score. So this customer came in, 620 credit score, was not eligible for conventional financing as per the FICO score. We did a Vantage credit score. Their credit score was a 701. All of a sudden, they were eligible for conventional financing. Their rate was 0.5% better. The mortgage insurance that they had, say, PMI, was half of what they would have paid if it was 620 or 640. They qualified for the loan. Mm. And so there is so many different ways that we can go ahead and help you. This is one of those things. Most lenders don't use them. We use them, and it's helping a lot of people.
And you reinstituted the 1% for your first year. Tell us about that.
Right. So we know that in general, between 6 and 18 months, we feel interest rates are going to drop. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are on the sidelines. They're saying, hey, you know what? I don't want to buy a house right now. Interest rates are in the upper sixes. They're high. I can't afford it. By the way, if you wait till they drop, you know what's going to happen. Everybody else is going to come out of the woodworks. You're going to have more competition for the homes. Instead of having three bids on that house, you'll have 15 offers. It's going to be much harder, and the prices are going to go up. So what we decided to do is we're going to give you, this is great, only for purchases, we're going to give you 1% less than the rate that you lock it in. So if you lock it in at 6.5, you're going to get 5.5% for the first year. If you borrow more than $200,000, after the year, if rates are lower, we can refinance you for free. So this will give you an opportunity to get that lower payment and get the rate we anticipate to happen in a year, get the price of the house, you know, pay the price you want to pay, and get in the house now and not have to worry about that 1%. And that 1% is a big deal. We saved a customer $420. This morning we closed them on it, $420 less a month on that payment. So we're doing it. We did it last month. Every single purchase we did last month took this opportunity. Why not? Mm-hmm. And we extended it into the month of July. You have to lock the rate in July. You don't have to close in July. And it's for purchases only. Bang, you save a fortune of money.
Excellent. I love it. Stewie always gives you his cell phone number. Don't prank him. 314-324-4440. 324-4440. You can just Google the bagel loan. We appreciate you, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
Very welcome.
Hey.
us on KMOX. Wheels is going to be out Thursday and Friday. Taking some training, in addition to being a weather spotter, he's going to become a sex therapist. So kudos to him.
I'll be a surrogate.
Yeah, good for you. That was creepy. Surrogate. That was creepy. Ugh. Wow, you grossed out Andrew. That's hard to do.
I know. Hey, somebody's got to take it to the next level.
Rach, I like your question about being a billionaire.
Okay, yeah, I saw this on Reddit earlier today, and I thought it was such a great question for the DGS, because I have my opinions on what everyone should do. Here's the question. A man offers you a deal. You will get $500 billion, but if anyone finds out for the next year that you're a billionaire, you instantly die, and all of the cash goes away. You're not leaving it to your family, nothing like that. Would you take the deal? And if so, like, what's your plan?
Okay. Let me go first.
Mm-hmm.
I would 1,000,000% do it because I don't care if I die that much. So it wouldn't be that big a risk. And I think you're going to say I'm the last person who should do it.
Because well, I can't keep a secret. Minimum, you're telling me. Like, you're wheeling around one day in the office and you're going, guess what?
Yeah.
So, like, you shouldn't take the deal.
Yeah.
You would tell someone.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
You're definitely telling us.
But I feel like I could probably do a month. Like, I could do a month.
You would make it, like, a decent amount of time, and then you'd be like, it's okay. I'm just going to tell one person.
What do you guys think?
And then you'd be dead.
Could you keep the secret, Wheels?
Yeah.
I think Wheels and I could. No offense, guys. I don't think you two would be able to keep the secret.
What makes you think you two could do it?
They're grown-ups, and we're not.
No, I don't think any of them could keep it.
Oh, there's no question I could keep that secret, for sure. You give me the motivation of $500 billion, I'll find a way to keep my mouth shut.
I don't think that's true. And the reason that
I
say that.
I have a mysterious jaw injury that keeps me from ever
speaking.
The
reason that I say that is because just like a week ago, you were telling us that there are certain things that are just in your nature that are impossible for you to control or change in any way. And if any of them are unable for you to control or change in any way, it is the fact that my friend talks a lot.
Yeah, but think about it. How many things do I talk about? I got a lot that I can talk about that isn't that.
He only has a couple subjects.
I mean, I can talk baseball all day, video games. I don't need to talk about my $500 billion and then die if I do. The threat of death is a pretty good motivator. Yeah. I think I could keep my mouth shut.
So would you tell Kurt?
No,
you're not allowed
then I
to,
would
right?
die.
Yeah, that's you can't tell anyone.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait. I thought, okay.
You cannot tell anyone.
Gotcha.
Nobody
can I was thinking more like if it got out.
Okay.
Got
no, you can't tell anybody. Okay. It's your secret for the next 365
days. Yeah, I would definitely tell Phoebe because I'd want her to think I was cool.
Yeah.
Wait, you only have to do it for a year?
You just got to keep quiet for a year.
Was anyone listening whenever I rolled this out?
Not entirely. I'm sorry. I got an email that threw me off right when you were explaining it, so I did not hear all of it. No, I didn't. So it's only for a year?
Yeah.
Yes.
I could do it for a year.
I mean, think about it. That amount of money, first of all, I wouldn't keep, 5% of it at most. There's a lot of that money. I don't need all that. What do you guys need?
A billion.
I say, give me $1 billion. I'll give the rest away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm cool with the bill. I think $1 billion is reasonable.
I think $1 billion
well.
Would be okay to cover whatever time I have left.
So what if I could get $1 billion and tell like 10 people?
Well,
yeah,
that's
but can
not
you
really
trust them
question,
to not tell anything?
Or how about that? If it were $500 billion and for every person you told, you lost $10
billion. Well,
then go nuts.
Yeah, so I might.
Dave rubs the lamp, and then Jeannie comes out. And he's like, "Oh, this guy,
I probably have
bargaining."
Yeah.
Well, Dave would
bargaining.
Say it on the air, and then he'd be like, "I'm sorry, you
I
don't have any
person,
money left."
Yeah.
What if I get 1,000 wishes, but they're like little things, like a McDonald's hamburger?
Have you guys seen those memes that are like the genie getting super upset because I used my third wish to wish for a third quarter pounder? I explain that really bad, but trust me, they're funny.
I get it.
I explain that really bad. How long do we have here?
2 minutes.
Oh, that's enough. I saw this thing about why animals don't just eat people, you know, like even back in the day. And it was really interesting.
Why? Why don't they?
It's basically because we're so weird. Like the main thing is we walk on two legs and almost every animal out there.
Yeah.
If threatened, will make themselves look bigger. You know, a cat raises its back and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we're already, do we look bigger than we should?
Yep.
and we walk on two legs, and that freaks them out. And then they realized tens of thousands of years ago, maybe a couple hundred, that we fight back.
Yeah.
And just genetics and handing down those memories that over eons, animals just learned,
it's not worth the trouble.
Not really worth the trouble.
Yeah.
Not worth the trouble.
And then I saw another thing similar to this, Dave, that ties into it. Like, it all, because we also smell like a lot of things, we confuse animals because they work mostly off smell. So if you smell like pizza and beer and cigarettes, well, they don't know what those things are. And it confuses their brains. So they don't think of you as food.
Mm-hmm.
You may be a threat, and that's when we're in trouble. When they think you're a threat, you're in trouble. But they don't necessarily think of humans as food because we smell weird.
Time to eat more pizza, drink more beer, and smell more
cigarettes.
Well,
it was any smells, right? It could be perfumes. It can be colognes. Like, they just, they're smells that they don't know.
For you, sex surrogacy?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's going to confuse them.
Sure. Why do you think I'm doing it?
Yeah.
Keep those animals from eating me.
There's a lot there. I could do an hour of material on that.